Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome to Work of the Ministry Scripture Study, and tonight we're going to be studying in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be studying on the topic of music, We're not going to be on a campaign to try to prove one thing or another. All we want to do is let's see what the Bible says about music. Let's just see what God says about music and what His Word says, and let's apply that to our life. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Lord says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Light is truth. Awake from your sleep. Now Jesus warns us that on his second return, that he's going to find people sleeping. They're going to be intoxicated or asleep to what is happening around them. Why? Because they have accepted the false teaching of the religious establishment that is telling them that everything is fine, that their sins are okayed, that they're justified by the blood of Christ, and they can live however they want to. It doesn't matter that God does not know them as long as they know God. So they can party like the heathens, live like the heathens, sing like the heathens, act like the heathens, dress like the heathens, and yet they are still supposedly the bride of Christ that will be presented to God without spot and without blemish, somehow. To this, Paul says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, wake up and take a look at what God's word says, and now you compare what God's word says to what you're being taught, and let's see what the truth is." Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly." With a purpose. You walk. Everything you do has a purpose. Everything you do. Today we want to walk circumspectly about music. See then that the music you listen to is circumspectly. In other words, for a purpose. What is the reason that you listen to music? What is the reason God has invented music? And what does the devil use music for? Those are some questions we need to ask. Because we don't want to talk about living our life tonight. The only thing we want to concentrate on is music. So when we read verse 15, we see then that you listen to music circumspectly. Circumspectly means you have a reason for listening. Not as a fool do you listen to music. Today the foolish world listens to music that depresses them. It emphasizes a sensual, sexual love that is all of lust. It does not praise God, it does not glorify Him, it does not bring Him glory or honor. In fact, the great majority of supposed Christian music, contemporary rock Christian music, brings no glory to God whatsoever. In fact, blasphemes His name. Most of the lyrics in these songs, let alone the beat and the rock music and the heathen backgrounds, most of the music, most of the words are unscriptural, and teach eternal security, the rapture, and false teachings that do not glorify God, even those speaking of God. Most of those songs are sensuous, as if God were their boyfriend or girlfriend. Now, I ask you, if we're to listen to music circumspectly, not as a fool, but as a wise person, is this wise? Is it wise for us to listen to any song that contradicts the Scriptures? You say, well, why are you talking like this? Why are you so concerned about it? Because I was reminded as I was studying of sharing with a young man that came to our church. I was talking to him over the phone, and he's up in Northern State. And as I was sharing with him, he turned the conversation around and said, "Wait a minute, you're talking about working your way to heaven." Now this young man, I'm not going to say who it is, but is living in immorality with his girlfriend. He's living in sin, does not go to church anywhere at all anymore, doesn't read his Bible, he told me, doesn't pray, knows he should, but he doesn't. And he said to me, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus, Brother Ron, don't you remember? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that saved me. It's only the blood. It's nothing that I can do." He quoted that to me as if it were Bible verse. Do you know why he thinks it's a Bible verse? Because he learned it in church, and he sang it in church. So because he's saying nothing but the blood of Jesus, because he's saying that, he now believes it's the Bible. I want you to listen to the lyrics of this song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That sounds very, very harmless, doesn't it? Listen to, I believe it's the third and fourth verse. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. It's all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say, well, that sounds somewhat okay, but it is scripturally not correct. We are saved by God's grace through our faith. We are saved by faith, shown by our actions. It does not matter what Jesus did for us if we do not have the faith to accept that. If we don't have the faith to show the Lord that we become a new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things are become new. If all things don't pass away, all things don't become new, we are not children of God. We can have the faith in the blood of Christ all day long. We can know he died on the cross. We can know he rose again. And blaspheme God's name, and Satan laughs as we program ourselves with wrong music and wrong teaching. And how are we doing it? We are purposely sitting down, allowing someone to teach us. And we don't even realize it. Oh, that's a Christian group. And let them teach us. They sing songs like, I want to walk all over heaven with you. That blasphemes God's name. Do you know what the Bible says the greatest reward is? That we will stand before Christ. Can you imagine the blasphemy of saying to Jesus, excuse me, Lord, step aside, I got to go see mom and dad. Don't we understand what Jesus said? In heaven we'll be neither male nor female. We won't be married or given in marriage. We're not going to be hoping to spend all of heaven with my wife or with my dad. We're going to be longing to see the Lord if we're right with him. What blasphemy this type of music, this indoctrination is having upon our minds. We don't even realize it. We push God aside. We push his majesty aside. We push his glory aside so that we can glorify our own fleshly lusts and our own fleshly desires, and don't understand that we're not walking circumspectly in our music because we're programming ourselves with song. You know, I purposely the other day listened to a song. I listened to it 5 times. Do you know that my wife has to correct me not to sing that song? I have just allowed my mind to just do whatever I want to. Do you realize when I open my Bible, by listening to that song 5 times, I have a hard time praying? Because that song's in my head. It's a song I knew when I was a little boy, growing up. In the car, I would listen to it. My dad loved it. When I would go to church, everybody in church listened to it. The youth in the church loved it. And yet I can't get it out of my head. Only 5 times. Last night, as my wife drifted off to sleep and I sat in my chair to have my quiet time before bed, I had a hard time having my quiet time because it was in my head. So much so. Oh, you say, well, what is there to matter? It's a Christian song, isn't it? Sung by a Christian group with unchristian lyrics. Unchristian lyrics that blaspheme the Lord's name and go against his word. He says, then see then that ye sing circumspectly, with a purpose. Say that you listen to music with a purpose. Is that purpose the flesh? Is it because you like that fleshly music? Well, we've done little experiments without even realizing the experiments that we've done. Sometimes we've allowed certain music to come in or certain songs to come in, and what we find out is those people that, and no offense, not judging, but those people that seem to have a tendency towards the world seem to have a tendency towards those songs that have a beat, or, let's put it this way, over-enthusiasm in the music. Kind of amazing. Kind of amazing the tendency that the flesh has. to listen to fleshly music. It appeals to the flesh. We're not walking circumspectly when we don't put to death the flesh and allow ourselves to be programmed by heathens. False teachers are going to use any method possible to teach us false doctrine. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Can we listen to music that is sung by people we wouldn't fellowship with?" If we wouldn't fellowship with these people, and the reason we wouldn't fellowship with these people is because of their ungodly association, because of their ungodly fellowship, because of their ungodly lifestyles, because of their love of the world, because of their filthy jokes, and they're lying, and they're cheating, yet they're singing music to us. And Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. What will happen if they sing to us and indoctrinate us? What will happen? Our lifestyle will begin to change to their lifestyle. Jesus said in verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Also you'll know that their fruits will rub off on you. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now listen, can two walk together except they be in agreement? We're only going to talk about music tonight. So let's go back to the last verse I just quoted. Have no music, no fellowship, have no music of the unfruitful works of darkness. No matter what the lyrics, no matter what the people say, no matter what the title of the group is, the question is, as they stand before God Almighty, will they be redeemed based upon the lyrics of their song? Will they be redeemed based upon the music and the beat and the background music? Will they be redeemed based upon the lifestyle that they have chosen to live? That is the question. Have no fellowship, have no music of the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Don't allow them to indoctrinate you. Don't allow them to indoctrinate your thinking, to change your thinking. So how can we have fellowship with these people whom we wouldn't fellowship with for any other reason? Pretty impossible, don't you think? I know it is. I know it is. You know, I'm going to tell you something that you probably already know. I absolutely, positively love music. I do. I love music. I thrive on music. I was raised singing. I was raised playing instruments. I absolutely love music. Music can be something that will help you, or it can be your downfall. A genuine love of music can help you to praise God and to serve Him, or it can be a curse to you. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 16. As Saul was being oppressed by demons, he was being oppressed by demons because he had rejected the Lord and disobeyed Him. And as he disobeyed God, God removed his spirit from Saul and gave him an evil spirit. Now you want to know the importance of music? Are you listening? Oh, there's no spirits in music. No, no, no. You mean to tell me when you're listening to music with a big beat, you don't get all of a sudden some form of a rush or excitement within you? It doesn't affect your attitude at all. Isn't that right? I think you might want to listen to this scripture. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. I don't know of any group that can play rock music on a harp. I want you to understand that it says play skillfully. Play skillfully, the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 33 and verse 3. Play skillfully unto the Lord. It's a command to play skillfully unto the Lord. Now, it's a shame that the many Mennonites and Amish and some plain people say, you know, you should only sing a cappella music. What a mess. We're commanded in the Old Testament to play skillfully unto the Lord. And as we go through this, you're going to see how off they are. It was not David's singing that calmed Saul's spirit. Are you listening? It was not the singing of David. He says, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. What is going to cause him to be well? Playing with the harp. When David didn't know what to do, he said, is there not a linen ephod that I might inquire of God? And he asked that they might play music, that he might hear from God. Are you listening? What did he play? Music. And what type of music was it? Harp music. Play music for me, that I might hear from God. Now, verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, I don't usually do this, but I'm going to call in some help from some doctors. And these doctors are clinical research analysts. And I'm just going to give you some quotes on what they say about this type of music that today we would call instrumental music, classical music, something like that. This type of music, and here's what they have to say. A number of academic studies recently zeroed in on classical music, showing that listening benefits the brain, sleep pattern, the immune system, and stress levels, all helpful when facing anything in life. Did you hear that? That goes right along with, isn't that amazing that all they had to do was open up the Bible? All they had to do was see in the Old Testament that Saul, with the evil spirit, was not calmed by David singing, was calmed by David playing the harp as unto the Lord. Scientists at the university compared changes in blood pressure among individuals listening to classical, jazz, or pop music. Now listen, pop music is rock and roll. Those listening to classical had significantly lower systolic blood pressure when compared to those listening to other music genres or no music at all. So when you compare classical music, which is instrumental music that God commanded in the Old Testament for us to listen to, he says they had lower systolic blood pressure. Now watch. Classical music helps you relax even when you don't pay attention to the music, a Russian study published in Human Psychology found. Children who listened to classical music for 1 hour a day over a six-month period exhibited brain changes that indicated greater levels of relaxation even when the children were not asked to pay attention to the music. Even when they didn't even realize that the music was on. Even though they weren't forced to sit down and listen to it, in other words. What's amazing is, why don't we listen to what God says? Why? I mean, humans are finding this out. They're spending millions of dollars on all these studies, having people come in. Okay, now you listen to this, and you listen to that, and you listen to this here. If testing anxiety causes sleepless nights, classical music can help soothe insomnia. A team of researchers at the University of Toronto found that tuning into classical music before bedtime helped people fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. Classical music is an effectual sleep aid because they use rhythms and tonal patterns that create a meditative mood and slow brain waves. That means all of the worries that you have, the demon possession or the demon oppression that Saul had, all the cares, the brain waves are relaxed. And guess what you can do now? Think. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. See then that ye walk circumspectly. See then that you listen to music for a reason, for a purpose. What is the reason? Is it entertainment? Where in the Bible does it tell us to do things for entertainment? You won't find it. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells us to do something in our walk with the Lord for entertainment. Why? Because the great majority of people, as they walk or they listen to music, are not listening to music circumspectly. They're walking as fools, or they're listening as fools. They don't understand that subconsciously that beat in the background is affecting their heart and their body and actually hurting them. They don't realize that that beat in the background does not allow them to relax and hear from God. Can you imagine if David would have put the linen ephod on to hear from God and say, play me some music, and a jungle beat would have been played? Do you think David would have heard from God if a jungle beat had been played? No, sir. Because David needed to relax, be still, and know that I'm God. Did you ever think of that Bible verse? Be still and know. It doesn't say be excited. It doesn't say be built up. It doesn't say be strong. It doesn't say be enthusiastic. It says be still and know that I am God. Many people don't hear from God because all the noise of their life, they can't get away from it. They can't crowd it. They drive their car and they go to get gas and there's a monitor right there, somebody telling you all those things that you need. Rock music being played. You go someplace and music being played. You go somewhere else, music being played. Go to the grocery store, something music being played. Everywhere you go, God says, be still and know that I am God. You want to hear from God? Get alone with Him. Jesus went out to a garden, there's nothing else around. All by Himself. All alone He was there. He left His disciples and He went about 50 feet away from Him and He fell on His knees and He cried out to His Father. All by Himself. He could hear from God. Quiet. Peaceful. Heart and mind waves. Relaxed. Absolutely relaxed. Scientists at the University of Helsinki have discovered that listening to classical music actually alters the function of our genes. In the study published by Pure J, they took blood samples from participants before and after listening to Mozart's violin concerto. I thought it was interesting that it was Mozart's violin concerto and nothing else, because the violin is one of the closest sisters to an instrument called the harp. Are you listening? One of the closest. Now listen to the advantage that happens after they listen to the violin. They found that the music directly affects human RNA. Suggesting that listening to music has even more surprising benefits than previously thought. No, it doesn't have any more than previously thought. It's always been the same. They've just rejected what God's already said. Listen, the demon had to be relaxed in Saul when godly music was played, because that's how God designed our bodies. That's why we're commanded. Play skillfully unto the Lord. Play the harp skillfully. Is unto the Lord. Now watch what he says here. Listening to classical music enhances the activity of genes that are mainly related to reward and pleasure and other functions. I can't pronounce this guy's name, whoever his name is. Some of the findings of this study may explain the molecular mechanisms underlying music theory, especially music gets the good genes moving. Specifically those that help with mood, memory, learning, and basic brain function. But it also slows down bad genes that cause brain degeneration, meaning that listening to music is like having a shield on your brain to stop from brain degeneration. Isn't it amazing that we hear about all these different brain problems in older people? Could it be that the generation that's older now, aren't they, let's see, the generation of the 60s that stopped listening to decent music, and all of a sudden now, or for the last 40 years, or 45 years, they have been listening to hippie beat, rock and roll music, not been able to relax their mind or their body or rejuvenate their RNA? Isn't it amazing that it's this generation that has all of these problems with thinking, has these problems with brain problems, and yet here it says, but it also slows down the bad genes that cause brain deterioration, meaning that listening to music is like having a shield, a protection on your brain. God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, do all things decently and in order. classical music or instrumental music is carefully organized and ordered just like God. It's decent and in order. Rock music plays on a different type of beat, several different beats at the same time, all in complete chaos. Compare to the line upon line, the graph of the classical music, of the instrumental music. God founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens, and he did it decently and in order, just like the patterns of instrumental music. One blessing of instrumental music is you can't learn any wrong doctrine. I mean, without music, without words, how can you learn wrong doctrine? It's next to impossible. Absolutely next to impossible. Psalm chapter 96 and verse 6 tells us that God receives honor and majesty and praise, and we are to glorify him in our music. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is the next thing I want to talk about. The music that you listen to, we talked about earlier, was what that if we walk circumspectly, see then that you listen to music with a purpose, with a reason. What is that purpose that you listen to music for? Well, the world listens to music in order to praise themselves, to lift themselves up, to be programmed by immodesty, indecency, immorality, fornication. Why? Because it appeals to the flesh. So we can find now that music will appeal to the flesh or will appeal to the spirit. If it appeals to the spirit of God within us, then what does it do? It glorifies God. It brings God glory. But how can God be glorified by a music that is patterned after the heathen? If music has been patterned after the heathen, then what do we have? Well, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord God, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Learn not the way of the heathen. Learn not the music of the heathen. Learn not the style of the heathen. Why? Because it's going to change your attitude. Listen, a lot of people need their attitude changed for the right way. And if you're listening to rock and roll music, or you're listening to wrong music that changes your attitude, you need all the help you can get to have a good attitude, to have a right attitude, something that's going to put a smile on your face, because it's the truth. Learn not the way of the heathens. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwell, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances, neither shall ye sing their music. It doesn't say that, but that's basically what he's saying. It's the heathen beat of the drums that caused the Israelites to dance. And before you know it, now they were dancing naked. Dancing naked and worshiping a false idol. And God said, Moses, you better get down there. They're dancing. What do you dance to? Well, I hate to tell you this, but you can't really dance in a heathen form or fashion to instrumental classical music. They definitely weren't dancing to instrumental music as heathens. And God commanded, I'm going to send you to a new land. Verse 4, ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. What if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. What is God saying? God's saying, make sure even in every single thing you do, you keep my commandments. Again, if we go back to the music, I'm talking about the words. We go back to the words, and we're listening to false teachers. We're listening to heathens that are promoting eternal security, the rapture false doctrine, that are trying to take the glory off of the Lord and glorifying him to the performer, to the performance, to the praise and entertainment of people. that their whole life now is bent upon, that they're entertainers and performers, not servants of God. We now go back to the way of the heathens. When we listen now to the music that came in to this country and to the world just a little while ago that resembles the hedonistic music of the heathens that worship false gods and are patterned after, now we take that music and we bring it into the church, can the same music that glorifies and praises heathens and idols and false gods, can that same music now glorify God if we put music and words that somewhat resemble that they're talking of the Lord? And the answer is, no, it can't. It can't. And I'll tell you why. Psalm chapter 71 and verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. How can we rejoice and sing unto God when we're singing words that blaspheme God's name? Or that teach against the doctrine of the Lord. That teach false doctrines. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalms chapter 96 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm 96 and verse 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. How can we show forth God's salvation in our singing if we're talking about a false form of salvation that damns people's soul to hell as they trust in false doctrine? Or elicits entertainment and sensuality in their lives. Listen, you can't have it both ways. You can't walk in the spirit and walk in the flesh at the same time. How can we listen to jungle beat music of the flesh and still be in the spirit? No man can serve two masters. There's no way we can do that. There's just no way that we can. Romans chapter 15 and verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and will sing unto thy name. How can we sing unto thy name, which is all powerful, which is holy and righteous? How can we do that in the flesh? That appeases our flesh. That causes us to want to drift towards the flesh. Are you listening? Listen, when you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as we're going to get to, those are not going to build up the flesh. You're not going to be drifting towards those things so that you feel in the flesh. They're going to build you up in the spirit. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, and whatsoever you do in music, because that's all we're talking about today, and whatsoever you do in music, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It praises and glorifies God. False doctrine does not praise God. False doctrine does not glorify God. If the same people that are singing false doctrine are singing other songs, how can those things glorify God? I believe our hymn book is plagued with false doctrine. I believe it is. I believe the songs are no longer the songs of the saints. And every person that claims to be Christian or religious is allowed to publish their songs in a hymn book. It's our responsibility before God to make sure that what we sing glorifies God, that the doctrine would praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of God of many rebound to the glory of God. How can we glorify God singing the songs of the heathen? How can we glorify God singing in the same pattern as the heathens? How can we sing songs that the world loves, that the world praises when they hate us? The very people that would put Christ on the cross, that would reject the truth, would love and not be offended by the music sung. How can we sing those songs? How can those songs be accepted by us who walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, by those people who love and appreciate that style of music and they blaspheme God in their life? God's not glorified. Psalm 119 and verse 5, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath made me alive. It's quickened me. For your music has made me alive spiritually. Can I ask you a question? Does heathenistic Christian music make us alive spiritually? Does it cause us to read our Bible more? Does it cause us to humble ourselves before God? Does it expose our open heart to show us the lust of the flesh that's in there that we want to root out? Listen, we don't want music coming into our life that's going to encourage us to live the way we want to turn from. We want to turn from that heathenism. We want to turn from that wrong doctrine and what wrong thinking. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In our music, we're going to change the words to this verse a little bit. He says, for whatsoever things we sing are sung for our learning. They're sung for our learning. Don't you understand? Why do you think that people use little jingles? Why? So it sticks in your mind. Why do you think Satan wants to use music? Because he's damning and destroying 3 and 4 and 5 and 6-year-old children who recite word after word after word. How are people put into a frenzy? Kill a cop by music. It's by music. How are they programmed to sin and immorality and fornication? By music. How do we learn the Psalms? All sung. Music. How did God teach his people? Music. Don't you realize that all of the Psalms in the entire, and I'm going to show you how much of the Bible, by the way, is the Psalms. We have 145 Psalms. And in my Bible, it's that thick. All of that part of the Bible. That's a lot of the Bible. That's 943 to 1,066. That is 122 pages in my Bible that were sung. And those songs glorified God. And in those psalms, not one word blasphemed the Lord. In those psalms, it taught us how God thought. In those psalms, it taught us to praise the Lord, to bring glory to Him. It taught us how to quicken our hearts, how to encourage yourself in the Lord. It taught us not to be depressed, not to be discouraged. We're to do all things decently and in order. The same way that our Creator has created us, that is the same way that He's created music. To build us up, to lift us up, to praise His name. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Remember, we're only talking about music tonight, so let's change the words. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation through the music we sing, that we might be able to comfort them by the way that we sing, or what we're singing, which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith, or by the music that comforts our heart, wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And how did God comfort His people? By the psalms being sung, and all the people praising God together. All the people reminding us of how God went to the Red Sea, and Moses held out the rod, and it was sung, and the water parted. And God made it, worked a miracle, and His name was praised, and His name was glorified. 122 pages of songs praising and worshiping and glorifying God and bringing glory to His name. You know, we might want to get used to singing, because in heaven we're going to sing. There'll be no rock meet. There'll be no heathenistic songs. Those who are anxious to get to heaven to see their relatives and their friends will get a big surprise as they stand before God. And God gets all the glory and all the preeminence and all the honor. And their fleshly thinking and all the programming of all the songs that glorify the here and now, that praise the flesh, that prays the entertaining, aspect of man's lives, all of those songs won't be there. Not a one. Not a one. Not any flesh. But here's what will be there. And they sung a new song, singing, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And they, next chapter, another chapter here, Revelation 14, 3. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed of the earth. They sang songs to praise God, to glorify God, to lift Him up. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 22. "Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments to do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations, which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them." Remember, we're only talking about music. So God's commandment to us in verse 23 is, "And you shall not sing the songs in the manners of the nations, which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them." Don't you see the effeminism that's happening in the ungodly music that's called Christian today? Don't you see the wrong thinking? Don't you see the flesh? Don't you see people turning from God in righteousness and holiness? Don't you see that God is not glorified? I want to go back to our text verse here in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go back to our text verse. Verse 16, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Listening to music that does not glorify God does not redeem the time. The days are already evil, so why would we program our mind with wrong doctrine? Why would we fight lyrics of songs that teach against what the Bible teaches just because it's entertaining? Just because we, in our flesh, we like the beat. Just because it entertains us. Just because it makes us feel good. And we can justify it and say, "Hey, it's Christian. It's Christian rock music. Hey, it's Christian false lyrics. Hey, it's Christian false teaching. Hey, the people that are singing this are heathens and ungodly, and we'd never listen to them, and we'd never have them preach to us, and we'd never fellowship with them, but we're going to let them sing to us." That doesn't make sense. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What is the will of the Lord in music? That He might be glorified. All the Bible verses I just shared with you. That God might be glorified. That's His purpose. Now watch. "And be not drunk with wine, as the heathen, drunk or intoxicated." That drunkenness is changing of your mind. Don't be drunk with wine, or don't be drunk in the same spirit of the world. Watch. "Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Not the spirit of the world. Isn't it funny that they call alcohol spirits? Why do they call them spirits? Because the spirits change your attitude, change your mind. That's why they call them spirits, because the spirits change your attitude, change your mind. They really do. I'm not making that up. And he says, "And so, but I want you to be filled with the Spirit," capital S. Now watch. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms." Isn't it funny that it's speaking to yourselves? Why? Because God knows it's teaching you. When you listen to music, without even realizing it, your subconscious picks up what is being taught. What's being taught? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're programming yourself. You're teaching yourself. So you hear the song over and over again about eternal security. You hear it over and over again. You're programming yourself. You're programming yourself. Without even realizing it. Nothing you have to do. Just nothing you have to do. Just nothing you have to do. Just over and over and over and over again in your head. Now, what don't you see that the great majority of music sung today is sung about supposedly the grace of God, which is not the grace of God, but as Jude quotes it and says it very properly, grace is lasciviousness. They're praising God, their God, not the true God, for giving them grace, which is a license to sin, which is you go ahead and do whatever you want to, and love it and live for it. Speaking to yourselves means you're teaching yourself, teaching others. Remember what we said when we were talking about the Psalms, how the Psalms taught God's people. It taught God's people how to live. It reminded them of the past, of what God had done. It reminded them of God's judgment. It reminded how they rebelled against God. I mean, read Psalm chapter 78. Read as God talks about how God blessed, and then they turned away from God. These are all songs that are sung to remind them of truth. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. As we speak to ourselves, we teach others. The Psalms are songs that record, or scripture that record to us what God has done. Hymns are the praise of men for what God has done in their life. That's what a hymn is. A hymn is a man saying, I want to praise God. I want to tell you what God has done in my life. And therefore they write a hymn. This is a song written by a man to glorify God. But not all hymns glorify God. But yet the Bible does record what a hymn is. I mean, that about hymns. So, speaking to yourselves in psalms. Psalms are the recitation of what God has done. The remembrance, bringing back into remembrance what God has done. And it's sung. Hymns are what man says that God has done, recording in their personal lives. And spiritual songs are those songs that God gives us in our life, that we can praise God's name for all that he's done in our life. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, that you might glorify God in everything. Tonight all we talked about was music. But I'd like to tell you that I think as we take a long, hard look at music, we're going to find that there's very little music in this world that glorifies God. Why? Because as the disciples said, Lord, are there few that enter the kingdom? And Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many are the singers that sing of a false Jesus. Many, my friends, are the singers that sing of a false grace. Many, my friends, are the singers that praise a false God. And few there be that praise God in his glory. So you say, well, what can we do then? We must make sure that as we choose what music we listen to and what we don't listen to, we go by the most important guidelines. That God is glorified, first of all, in the music. And most importantly, that the music is sung in such a way that does not incite our flesh, does not praise our flesh, does not work up our flesh, but draws us closer to God, reminds us what God has done, and reminds us of his word, which is the truth. Reminds us of the true aspects of heaven. Not the commercial aspects. Not the man-made aspects. But the truth that glorifies God. I would say that the older the song is, just about, the better it is. I would say sourcing songs from the Anabaptists, Mennonites, the Amish would be a very good choice. I would say sourcing songs that the lyrics go along with the Word of God are first and foremost choice. And I would say that anything, when you're truthful, that incites the flesh or builds up the flesh, or is the tendency of those people who are in the innermost parts of the camp, would be those things that we should refrain from so that God is glorified in our life, that we speak to ourselves, we teach ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Lastly, I just want you to turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, still only talking about music. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This I say then, listen to music that puts you in the Spirit, in oneness with God. In other words, listen to music that if Jesus were sitting next to you, it would draw you closer together. You wouldn't be embarrassed. Here's a good guideline. If there's somebody in this world that would be offended by the music you listen to, if you have to hide it from others, if you have to stash it away, if you have to make sure you don't listen to it around other people, probably the Lord's going to be offended on it also. Paul said, I will not even eat meat if it causes my brother to stumble. This I say then, listen to music that puts you in the Spirit of God, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the fleshly music lusts against the Spirit. The fleshly music lusts against the Spirit. And before you know it, you're a heathen. You're acting like a heathen. You're feeling like a heathen. And the Spirit against the flesh. And that music is contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do those things you would. It doesn't draw you closer to God if you're really honest with yourself. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you're led by the spiritual music, you're not going to be condemned by your heart pounding saying, this music is borderline. I probably shouldn't be listening to it. If Michael Sandler were here today, I'd be embarrassed if he listened to it on my radio, gave his life for Christ, burned at the stake. If Menno Simons, who gave his life and ran away from those who hated him because he preached holiness and righteousness, were to listen, boy, I sure would be embarrassed that I'm listening to these people. If there's anybody in this world that would be offended at the music you're playing because of their true walk with God, whatever is not of faith is sin. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. The songs of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, division or variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, drunk murders, drunkenness, revelings, which is wild parties, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which listen to such music, that is promoting such ungodly lifestyle, when that heathen music, when that hillbilly music, or whatever word you want to call it, when that contemporary music is played, and no one's offended, and the world loves it, and they're not caring that you play it, there's something wrong. Because these are the works of the flesh. And that music is the work of the flesh, and it does not bring glory to God. But the fruit of the Spirit, but the music of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's faith, it's meekness, it's long-suffering or temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, don't listen to that trash. And they that are Christ's, repent from their ungodly music and their contemporary music and their social gospel music, and their false teaching music. They that are Christ have crucified the fleshly music, and the affections and the lusts and the desires for it. Because if we live in the Spirit, we're going to listen to the Spirit's music. That's what it says right here in my Bible. I don't know, maybe you don't have that, but it says right here in my Bible, verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, let us also listen to the music of the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, which is the number one reason for contemporary rock music. You can tell by the covers. You can tell by the covers of the CDs or cassettes. You can tell what they're after. Looking like heathens, like punks. Looking for worldly praise. Able to fit in with the worldly crowd, able to sing with the country and western people, and nobody's affected or offended by their music. It's kind of funny, we couldn't preach there, but they could sing that there. Their words don't affect anybody, because they're not the words of glory. They're not the words of praise of God. They're not the words that's offensive, like God's word, which is a two-edged sword. Provoking one another, envying one another. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. In all that we do, let's make sure that we examine ourselves for a multiplicity of reasons. First of all, and most important, the most important thing that you have in all of your life is your walk with God. If music is offensive to God Almighty, if it's flesh, if it causes you to act in the flesh or walk in the flesh, if it causes you to encourage or endorse those that are not living for the Lord, if it causes you to feel oneness or to praise man or to glorify man or to give vain glory, whatever is of the flesh is not of God. It's contrary to the Spirit of God. And as your pastor, I hope by God's grace, we can purge ourselves and purge our musical repertoire so that it is few and far between, and yet to the praise and glory of God, that He might be praised, that in everything, in every aspect of our life, including music, we might not be ashamed if the Lord were to come today to our house and listen to the music we listen to, that He might feel comfortable around us, that He might feel praised and uplifted as He hears His words sung, as His name is glorified and praised and worshiped, as in oneness we praise His name, that we be no offense, brethren, that we be in no offense to one another, that we not allow our heart to listen to those things that would cause us or tend us or slant us towards the flesh, but that we might walk in the Spirit.